divine realities given to us to take into our heart and to ponder. The first one is, of course, just the possibility of change. Look how this man changed. He was a murderer, a persecutor, you know, and he was fighting against God in the name of everything he'd learned and applied his life to up to this moment. And Jesus just came to him and said, you know, Saul. Notice he calls him by his family name. You know, not Paul, which would be Shaul would be his name in the family. And then it's a bilingual world. He's Pavlos. He's Paul. Shaul. He calls him by his family name. Why are you persecuting me? Now, you can imagine Paul, you know, this bright light, this voice, this person, you know. And Jesus says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Can you imagine how that truth burned itself into his spirit? I'm persecuting these Christians, and Jesus is saying, I'm persecuting him. That lesson was so burned into his spirit that as he elaborated it during his life, he understood that we are the body of Christ. Not in any metaphorical way at all. Really, his physical body. That's the meaning of the Eucharist. It's the meaning of marriage. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Go in there, and what does Paul do? He has to get baptized. You'd think, the Lord himself was just talking to me. I mean, do I have to get baptized? Yes. Why? Because without this work of Jesus Christ in and through this sacrament, you don't belong to his body. You know, for us, you know, you get the little baby, you baptize him, you send him home, and without any idea of the incredible thing that just happened to this person, child or adult, baptism. And that's why Ananias went and baptized him. What else did Paul learn? One of the things he preached all his life was justification by faith. Justification by the grace of Jesus Christ through faith. How did he know that? Because he was on his way to persecute Jesus in Damascus, and Jesus came to him and changed his life. He wasn't doing anything right. And out of nowhere, this total gratuity. Isn't that beautiful? That's why he never got mixed up about this. And why he was so concerned. The whole letter to the Galatians and a lot of Romans. You know, people were saying, no, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do the other thing. And he said, no. No, to be right with God means to accept this gift of the fruit of the death and resurrection of the divine Son of God. Accept it. That's it. That's all. You do that and let that into your life and your whole life will change. All of a sudden, you have divine life. And you're on your way to share that divine life with God himself forever. That's pretty exciting. And this, I now understand, he says, this is for the whole world. Now, he understood that by the very nature of what he experienced. But it took place in his life when he was baptized, and then he went and prayed, and then he went back to Jerusalem, and then he went home, back to Tarsus. He was kind of too much for them. I mean, this is the guy, one of the Pharisees, and now he's back joining us. You know, I mean, like, this is very uncomfortable. And so he went home. He was home a while, and Barnabas went and got him. And they were at Antioch, preaching, forming the community there. And there were Jews and Gentiles in this community. And one day, they were praying and fasting, a group of them, and they had a word from the Lord. The Holy Spirit said, "Separate Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have for them to do." So they prayed and fasted. They laid hands on them, and off they went. And that has changed the history of the world. That has changed the history of the world. They went, not only letting Gentiles come in if they wanted to, they went out looking for them to tell them the good news, to tell them the real meaning of their existence. And look at the drive he had. I mean, you know, later on, when all these super charismatics are bragging about, "I prayed over so-and-so, and I got healed, I've done this, I've done that." And Paul says, "You want to know my great works? I'll tell you. I've been persecuted by my brethren. I've been beaten up. I've been left for dead. I was shipwrecked in the sea. I traveled all over the world, you know, trying to preach in languages I don't even know. Those are my accomplishments." Isn't that beautiful? You know, you want to be charismatic? That's charismatic. Pour out your whole life and forgive all these people who are making life miserable for you, persecuting you, spreading lies about you, trying to get your own brethren to, you know. And finally, when he's arrested, you know, having a whole bunch of people ready to assassinate him. And if his nephew hadn't gone to the centurion and said, you know, and so the centurion, "I want to get this guy out of here." And they sent him with a cohort of soldiers down to Caesarea. And what's he talking about all the time? Jesus. Love. Forgiveness. The glory of what God has done in our midst. That's why we celebrate this day. Look at the work of God in this man. But I really think the message to us today is listen. Change is possible. You want to change? Says the Lord, just come to me and I will work a change in your life. Keep bothering me. Every day you keep bothering me. Change me, change me, change me. You know, let me grasp what's really going on in my life and everybody else's and make me some kind of an apostle. Whatever kind you want. In my family, among my friends, at the grocery store, wherever. Just do it. That's the lesson for today, I think. You know? And that's why, see, the gospel this church picks for today is pretty extraordinary. You know, go out to the whole world, baptize and preach to every creature. Whoever believes and be baptized will be saved. Whoever does not will be condemned. And these are the signs of those who believe. This is not the signs of the superstars. These are the signs of those who believe and are willing at the drugstore to start talking to somebody, to just try to mediate to them the wonder of life, even in the darkness and sin and suffering and problems, what life is all about. They'll drive out demons. They'll speak new languages. It's the way they translate that. It's okay. You know what that is, the gift of tongues. Okay. Or actually speak new languages. How many times in the history of the church have we known of somebody going somewhere to preach not knowing a word of the language, and he just starts and everybody understands him? Pretty remarkable, isn't it? They'll pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Why? Because I will work through them, because they have given me their life.